Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om namo
Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Narayanam namaskritya.
Naram
chaiva narotamam. Devim sarasvatim vyasam. Tato jayam udirayat. Nashta prayeshu abhadreshu. Nityam bhagavata sevaya. Bhagavati uttama shloke. Bhaktir bhavati naishtiki. Before reciting the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is our very means of conquest, one should offer respectful obeisances unto Naranarayan Rishi, the supermost human, unto Narayana, the personality of Godhead, unto Naranarayan Rishi, the supermost human, unto Mother Saraswati, the goddess of learning, and unto Srila Vyasadeva, the author. By regular attendance and classes on the Bhagavatam, and by rendering service to the pure devotee, all that is troublesome to the heart is almost completely destroyed, and loving service unto the personality of Godhead, who is praised with transcendental songs, is established as an irrevocable fact. So we are still in first canto, second chapter, Divinity and Divine Service. Verse 16. Shushrusha Shraddhatanasya.
Shushrusha Shraddhatanasya.
Vasudeva Katarucihi.
Vasudeva Katarucihi.
Syan Mahat Sevaya Vipra.
Syan Mahat Sevaya Vipra.
Punyatirtani Shevanat.
Punyatirtani Shevanat.
Shushrusha Shraddhatanasya. Vasudeva Katarucihi. Syan Mahat Sevaya Vipra. Punyatirtani Shevanat. Shushrusha Shraddhatanasya. Vasudeva Katarucihi. Syan Mahat Sevaya Vipra. Punyatirtani Shevanat.
Shushrusha
Shraddhatanasya.
Vasudeva Katarucihi.
Vasudeva Katarucihi.
Syan Mahat Sevaya Vipra.
Syan Mahat Sevaya Vipra.
Punyatirtani Shevanat.
Punyatirtani Shevanat. Shushrusha Shraddhatanasya. Vasudeva Katarucihi. Syan Mahat Sevaya Vipra. Punyatirtani Shevanat. Shushrusha Shraddhatanasya. Vasudeva Katarucihi. Syan Mahat Sevaya Vipra. Punyatirtani Shevanat. Shushrusha Shraddhatanasya. Vasudeva Katarucihi. Syan Mahat Sevaya Vipra. Punyatirtani Shevanat. Synonyms all together. Shushrusha, one who is engaged in hearing. Shraddhatanasya, with care and attention. Vasudeva, in respect to Vasudev. Kata, the message. Ruchi, affinity. Syat, is made possible. Mahat Sevaya, by service rendered to pure devotees. Vipra, O twice born. Punya Tirtha, those who are cleansed of all vice. Nishevanat, by service. Translation by Srila Prabhupada. O twice born sages, by serving those devotees who are completely freed from all vice, great service is done. By such service, one gains affinity for hearing the message of Vasudev. One more time. O twice-born sages, by serving those devotees who are completely freed from all vice, great service is done. By such service, one gains affinity for hearing the message of Vasudev. So in the previous verses, we've been hearing how the highest perfection of life is achieved by serving, by pleasing the personality of Godhead. And therefore, one should always constantly hear about him and glorify him. And now in this verse, we are hearing that to get the affinity to constantly hear him and glorify him, we need to serve a pure devotee and get that affinity through his mercy. Purport. The conditioned life of a living being is caused by his revolting against the Lord. There are men called devas, or godly living beings, and there are men called asuras, or demons, who are against the authority of the Supreme Lord. In the Bhagavad Gita, 16th chapter, a vivid description of the asuras is given, in which it is said that the asuras are put into lower and lower states of ignorance life after life, and so sink to the lower animal forms and have no information of the absolute truth, the personality of Godhead. These asuras are gradually rectified to God consciousness by the mercy of the Lord's liberated servitors in different countries according to the supreme will. Such devotees of God are very confidential associates of the Lord, and when they come to save human society from the dangers of godlessness, they are known as the powerful incarnations of the Lord, as sons of the Lord, as servants of the Lord, or as associates of the Lord. But none of them falsely claim to be God themselves. This is a blasphemy declared by the asuras, and the demoniac followers of such asuras also accept pretenders as God or his incarnation. In the revealed scriptures, there is definite information of the incarnation of God. No one should be accepted as God or an incarnation of God unless he is confirmed by the revealed scriptures. The servants of God are to be respected as God by the devotees who actually want to go back to Godhead. Such servants of God are called Mahatmas or Tirthas, and they preach according to particular time and place. The servants of God urge people to become devotees of the Lord. They never tolerate being called God. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was God himself, according to the indication of the revealed scriptures, but he played the part of a devotee. People who knew him to be God addressed him as God, but he used to block his ears with his hands and chant the name of Lord Vishnu. He strongly protested against being called God, although undoubtedly he was God himself. The Lord behaves so to warn us against unscrupulous men who take pleasure in being addressed as God. The servants of God come to propagate God consciousness, and intelligent people should cooperate with them in every respect. By serving the servant of God, one can please God more than by directly serving the Lord. The Lord is more pleased when he sees that his servants are properly respected, because such servants risk everything for the service of the Lord, and so are very dear to the Lord. The Lord declares in the Bhagavad Gita 18:69 that no one is dearer to him than one who risks everything to preach his glory. By serving the servants of the Lord, one gradually gets the quality of such servants, and thus one becomes qualified to hear the glories of God. This eagerness to hear about God is the first qualification of a devotee eligible for entering the kingdom of God. Om Gyana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshu Amortamina Tasmai Shri Guru Namaha Vanchakalpa Tarigyascha Kripa Sindhubya Evacha Patitanam Pavanagya Vaishnavya Namaha Namaha. Thank you for allowing me to speak on the Srimad Bhagavatam. I ask for the blessings of the devotees. So in this verse, we get a key principle of our process, which is the fact that we need to serve a pure devotee or a mahatma to get the mercy of devotee to get the mercy of Krishna. So first we need the Guru's mercy, and then we get Krishna's mercy. So this is a key principle in our process. In the Lilamrita, when Prabhupada first came to America in 1966, he came from a foreign country, and he came into a very different culture in the West. And he was trying to teach these very sincere devotees about all these different principles of God consciousness. You know, everything was sort of new and precarious, and when they would hear something unusual, they would kind of pause and kind of say to themselves, like, wait, what is this? So this happened when Prabhupada, it was the night before the first initiation in New York in 1966, and Prabhupada said that the spiritual master should be worshipped as good as God. And Hayagriva and a few others kind of looked at each other, and they didn't know what to do. It just seemed, now is he saying that we have to worship him as God? So they came to Prabhupada and they said, Prabhupada, is what you told us this morning mean that we're supposed to accept the spiritual master to be God? And Prabhupada calmly responded, no, that means that he is due the same respect as God, being God's representative. Then he is not God? Hayagriva said, no, Prabhupada said, God is God. The spiritual master is his representative. Therefore, he is as good as God, because he can deliver God to the sincere disciple. So therefore, he is as good as God, because he can deliver God to the sincere disciple. In 434 Bhagavad Gita, which is one of the key shlokas, and it could be argued, there's a few shlokas that are in competition with each other as to, like, this is the key shloka, no, this is the key shloka, and this is one of them. 434, which talks about how to approach a pure devotee or spiritual master. And in that purport, Prabhupada says that this is the secret of advancement in spiritual life. So it seems like it could be like the key shloka in the Bhagavad Gita, because this is the secret of advancement. So 434 is Tadvidi Prani Patena Pariprashnena Sevaya Upadekshanti te jnanam jnaninas tattvadarshinaha. Pranipatana, by approaching a spiritual master. Pariprashnana, by submissive inquiries. Sevaya, by the rendering of service. Upadekshanti, they will initiate you into knowledge, because they are tattvadarshinaha, seers of the truth. So this gives instruction as to how to approach the pure devotee. He's not to be taken casually or taken for granted, which is sort of a tendency, especially in our Western culture. We cannot really put somebody else, higher than us. We're all equal. That's sort of like the Western culture. So it's very important for us, especially in the West, to keep this principle in mind and not take the pure devotee for granted, because he is the one who is delivering Krishna to us. When the purport Prabhupada says, the path of spiritual realization is undoubtedly difficult. The Lord therefore advises us to approach a bona fide spiritual master in the line of disciplic succession from the Lord himself. The Lord is the original spiritual master, and a person in the disciplic succession can convey the message of the Lord as it is to his disciple. In the Bhagavatam, it says, Tarmam tu sakshad bhagavat pranitam. The path of religion is directly enunciated by the Lord. Therefore, mental speculation or dry arguments cannot help lead one to the right path. Nor by independent study of books of knowledge can one progress in spiritual life. One has to approach a bona fide spiritual master. He should be accepted in full surrender. He should serve the spiritual master like a menial servant, without false prestige. Satisfaction of the self-realized spiritual master is the secret of advancement in spiritual life. Inquiries and submission constitute the proper combination for spiritual understanding. Unless there is submission and service, inquiries from the learned spiritual master will not be effective. And what happens when the inquiries are effective? Then the spiritual master or pure devotee, he blesses the disciple with genuine spiritual understanding. In Kolkata in 1902, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta approached his father, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and he said, "Baba, you have given me a good education. I am recognized as a scholar of the Vedas. Still, why do I feel such discontentment?" And Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur answered, "Unless one follows the path of pure surrender to Krishna, the mind will never be contented. This path can only be shown to you by a pure devotee of Krishna." So what does the pure devotee actually give to the sincere aspirant? In the second canto, second chapter, we find that the spiritual master gives the Bhakti Lata Bij. A sincere soul is helped by the Lord through meeting a bona fide spiritual master, the representative of the Lord. By the instruction of such a spiritual master, one gets the seed of Bhakti Yoga, Bhakti Lata Bij. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu recommends that the devotee sow the seed of Bhakti Yoga in his heart and nurture it by the watering process of... What is the watering process? Yes, hearing and chanting, thank you, the holy name. The primary practice of Bhakti Yoga will cause the seed already sown in the heart to sprout, and by a regular watering process, the Bhakti Yoga creeper will begin to grow. By systematic nurturing, the creeper will grow to such an extent that it will penetrate the coverings of the universe, reach the effulgent sky, the Brahma Jyoti, and reach the spiritual sky, and then, where will it go then? Krishna's lotus feet. And what happens when the creeper reaches Krishna's lotus feet? It fructifies. And there's fruits. And the devotee who's still in the material world, it is said he can actually taste those fruits of love of Godhead, even though he's still in the material world. In a lecture, Srila Prabhupada in 1975 in New York, he talks about the Bhakti Lata Bij. To understand Vedic literature means one must have firm faith in Krishna and firm faith in Guru. Not that my guru is not so learned, so let me capture Krishna directly. That is useless. That is useless. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Guru Krishna Prasadapai Bhakti Lata Bij. One can get the seed of the plant or creeper of bhakti, how? Guru Krishna Kripa. By the mercy of Guru and by the mercy of Krishna, not that Krishna Kripa first. Guru Kripa and then Krishna Kripa. In the Guru Astakam, which we sing every morning in Mangal Arati, we hear that the spiritual master, he is receiving benedictions from the ocean of mercy. The spiritual master delivers the materially afflicted world by extinguishing the blazing fire of material existence. Vaditra Madhyan Mana Soda Sena, he's always relishing the mellows of pure devotion within his mind. Sakshataritvena Samasta Shastra Uktashtatabha Vyata Eva Sadvi. He's to be honored as much as the Supreme Lord because he is the most confidential servitor of the Lord. And then the key verse in that song, Yasya Prasada Bhagavat Prasadam. By the mercy of the spiritual master, one receives the benediction of Krishna. Without the grace of the spiritual master, one cannot make any advancement. Without the grace of the spiritual master, one cannot make any advancement. So would anybody like to say, what is this mercy? What is this Bhagavat Prasad? Yasya Prasada Bhagavat Prasada. What is it? Would anybody like to say?
Service to Krishna. Relationship.
Thank you. In the third canto, 23rd chapter, Kardama Muni tells Devahuti about what is this Bhagavad Prasad, the mercy of the Lord. In that purport, Prabhupada says, the graces of the Lord are abhay, free from fearfulness. In the material world, if someone accumulates $1 million, he is always full of fear because he's always thinking, what if the money is lost? But the benediction of the Lord, Bhagavad Prasad, is never to be lost. It is simply to be enjoyed. There is no question of loss. One simply gains and enjoys gaining. When one achieves the grace of the Lord, the result is that sarva dukhani, all distresses are destroyed. When situated in that transcendental position, one is freed from the two kinds of material diseases, hankering and lamentation. After devotional life begins, we can achieve the full result of love of Godhead. Love of Krishna is the highest perfection of Bhagavad Prasad, or divine mercy. So love of Krishna is the highest perfection of Bhagavad Prasad, or divine mercy. And how did Devahuti achieve Bhagavad Prasad? Would anybody like to say?
Serving
her guru. Working sanely and diligently, Devahuti pleased her very powerful husband. Kardama Muni said, "O respectful daughter of Swayambhuva Manu, today I am very much pleased with you for your great devotion and most excellent loving service. I have achieved the blessings of the Lord in discharging my own religious life of austerity, meditation, and Krishna consciousness. Although you have not yet experienced these achievements, which are free from fear and lamentation, I shall offer them all to you because you are engaged in my service. I shall offer them all to you because you are engaged in my service." So this is the formula. This is how it works. Also in the teachings of Prahlad Maharaj, in the seventh canto, Prahlad says, "Such knowledge is extremely difficult to understand without the mercy of a saintly person like Narada. But everyone who has taken shelter of Narada's disciplic succession can understand this confidential knowledge." Prahlad Maharaj wanted to impress upon the sons of the demons that although such knowledge can be understood only by a saintly person like Narada, they should not be disappointed, for if one takes shelter of Narada instead of material teachers, this knowledge is possible to understand. And then his classmates asked him, a very reasonable question. They said, they were very eager to hear these teachings from Prahlad. But when he said that, you need the mercy of a pure soul like Narada to receive this mercy, they said, "Prahlad, but we are only, 5-year-old boys. How is it that you came to meet a person like Narada Muni? We don't know anybody except our teachers and our parents." So would anybody like to say, how did Prahlad, the 5-year-old boy, get to meet Narada Muni? Yes. He got to hear the message of Narada Muni while he was still in the womb of his mother, Kayadu. They had arrested her because she was the wife of Hiranyakashipu, and they thought she was carrying a great demon in her womb. But then, and they were going to arrest her and hold her until he was born and then kill him. And Narada Muni showed up on the scene and he said, he stopped them. He said, "No, actually, there is a great devotee in the womb of this mother." And so he took her to his ashram and he was instructing her in transcendental knowledge, and Prahlad was in the womb listening. So that's how he got the instruction and the mercy of his spiritual master. Prahlad Maharaj goes on to say to not accept a materialistic guru, because those are people who are blind leading the blind. He rejected the teachings of Sandinamarca, who wanted to teach Prahlad about politics, business, and etc. Persons who are strongly entrapped by the consciousness of enjoying material life, and who have therefore accepted as their leader or guru a similar blind man attached to external sense objects, cannot understand that the goal of life is to return home, back to Godhead, and engage in the service of Lord Vishnu. As blind men guided by another blind man miss the right path and fall into a ditch, materially attached men, led by another materially attached man, are bound by the ropes of fruitive labor, which are made of very strong cords, and they continue again and again in materialistic life, suffering the threefold miseries. This is pretty much the situation in our, you know, non-devotional Western society, is that unfortunately people are taking shelter of materialistic men, having, you know, no other knowledge but to do so. You know, and the people who are leaders of our society, they are, you know, completely devoid of spiritual knowledge, you know, but people look up to them because they may have high status in society or may have a lot of wealth, you know, as politicians, president, lawyers, investment bankers. This is the situation of our society. And Prahlad Maharaj goes on to say, generally speaking, practically everyone is unaware of the spiritual world. The knowledge of the materialist is restricted within the 4 billion mile limit of this material world, which is in the dark portion of the creation. They do not know that beyond the material world is the spiritual world. Unless one is a devotee of the Lord, one cannot understand the existence of the spiritual world. Gurus, teachers who are simply interested in this material world are described in this verse as andha or blind. Right after college, I spent a few years working in New York City, and I worked on Wall Street. I wasn't one of those guys, but I worked among those guys. And I can tell you that the realization came to me later that these men are like brahmanas who don't have knowledge, because they were really amazing. You know, they were sort of like the cream of the crop of society. You know, they were like very learned and very cultured and very well spoken, you know, and obviously they made a lot of money, like a lot of money, you know, millions of dollars. You know, but they were devoid of spiritual knowledge. And so many people looked up to them and followed them and, you know, respected them, because that's what we respect in this world. But actually their knowledge is quite, you know, quite useless. And with all their gifts that they had and all their opulences, at the end of the day, and guess what? Like, they're going to hell. So Krishna gave me the mercy to see that, and to also see how, like, there's no pleasure in that. You know, there's no pleasure in having all that affluence and having all that culture, and, you know, I'm going to see the latest Broadway show, and I'm going to the you know, best restaurant in Manhattan, and all that is actually like empty. But these are the quote unquote, you know, leaders of our society, and people are looking up to them and taking shelter of them and wanting to be like them. Prahlad Maharaj goes on to say, unless they smear upon their bodies the dust of the lotus feet of a Vaishnava, completely freed from material contamination, persons very much inclined towards materialistic life cannot be attached to the lotus feet of the Lord, who is glorified for his uncommon activities. Only by becoming Krishna conscious and taking shelter at the lotus feet of the Lord, in this way can one be freed from material contamination. So I have a few more things, but I'll stop here and see if there's any discussion points. I'm sorry, I had like so many different, you know, shlokas. It's just my propensity to find different shlokas. So would anybody like to comment on anything that's been said? Any questions? Yes. This one.
Thank you for such a nice class. I was thinking when you asked the question about Narada Muni, where and how Prahlad got the mercy. So I backed it up one more. It says, by the mercy of Krishna, one gets the mercy of the spiritual master. So how did Narada Muni know to pop up on the scene like he does all the time?
Thank you.
That's also the mercy.
That's a very, very nice point. Thank you.
They work together.
They work together, yeah. It's sort of in perfect synchronicity, which we can't fully grasp with our minds.
Because sometimes it says that when you're ready, the spiritual master shows up. But Prahlad was in the womb.
Well, I think because Prahlad is a, you know, not an ordinary jiva, and it was a lila. But on one of the shlokas that I read, it says, to the sincere soul, Krishna sends the guru. So, to your point about the Bhakti Lata Bij verse, a sincere soul is helped by the Lord through meeting a bona fide spiritual master, the representative of the Lord.
Your point regarding how to get the mercy of the Guru wants Jayananda Prabhu, and for those who know, he was one of the senior most devotees in our movement.
Mm-hmm.
And he was, he told one of his young bhaktas that he was training, he wanted to go and offer obeisances to Srila Prabhupada as he was there. But that's when he asked him to come out, and help him on Rath Yatra. So he said no, that he wants to stay back to offer obeisances to Srila Prabhupada. So then he mentioned that the greatest obeisances and the most blessings you can get is to carry out the orders of the Guru. That's the better obeisance, and that's the way to get the Guru's mercy.
To carry out the orders.
Yes.
Yes, thank you. And we can see how Srila Prabhupada did that many, many years after he received his instruction from his Guru, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, and it was like 40 years later that he was carrying out his order, and the Guru had, you know, left the planet many years earlier. Yes, thank you.
Thank you for your nice class. you mentioned that the fellow students of Prahlad were wondering how he had a head start, as you want to say, in meeting such a personality at just the age of 5. This underlines the importance of mothers who are pregnant, that they should maximize the hearing transcendental sound. Mm. Especially during that time.
Thank you.
And I mean, that's a long time, 9 months. If one can make a concentrated effort while they're pregnant to really get that transcendental sound surrounding them at all times, this would be very advantageous for the child.
That's a really nice point. Yes, we understand that the child hears what is going on.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, Madam
Mahaprabhu. I always like this verse because in the end of the purport, Prabhupada points out by serving, you get the same qualities of the person you're serving. So not just if you serve the spiritual master, you'll get those qualities, but if you serve lower class people, you'll get those qualities. But it seems, to me, kind of like liking psychology, how the mechanics of how everything works. So I'm seeing this connection, and here it says that if you hear with the correct mentality, the shushu show, that's that mechanism that you get the inherent quality of your spiritual master. So that also applies whenever you hear with respect, because it goes to association, how important association is?
Yes.
Because whoever your association is, you develop the qualities of the ones. I was at the downtown Gainesville yesterday, the art show, and a lot of people there, they have dogs with them.
Yes.
They walk their dogs, and there's different kinds. And you start to see the changing of the qualities, that they start to blend together.
Yeah, they start to look alike.
Yeah, they look alike, they act alike. So that same principle, in one sense it's funny, in another sense it's sad, you know, but
yeah.
It's the way the world works. And then they switch places in the next life.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, especially in America, this obsession with dogs, especially, like I don't know, I grew up in Europe and we didn't like treat dogs like they do in America. Like, they sleep with them in the bed and everything. And, you know, they're inside their house all day. Like, that's, I don't know. It just seems like really, really uncultured. But in America, they love their dogs, especially dogs. Yeah.
It's so important because we don't recognize the mechanics of taking place when one has, you naturally have affection. So if we always want to serve, you'll serve. And, you know, dogs, they have some nice qualities. They're always happy to see you.
Yeah.
You just walk in the other room and you walk back and, oh, it's like, there you are.
That's a really nice point. So, I really appreciate your point. Yeah, it works, I guess, on a materialistic level as well as on a spiritual level. It's the same principle. One is like spiritualized, right?
Then the birds of a feather. And
yeah.
It rubs off. You know, there's a lot of colloquial sayings about it.
Well, the Nectar of Instruction, it says, it gives the guideline how to relate to different grades of devotees. It says to the pure devotee, to the Uttama Adhikari, and of course there's different levels of purity. So to the pure devotee, we relate to them by offering of service and trying to gain their qualities of mercy. So, yes.
The last line of Srila Prabhupada's
purport, that the eagerness to hear is the qualification. It's very interesting. You look at it. Eagerness to hear is the first qualification that allows one to enter into spiritual domain. Or going back,
yes.
Going back to Gaudiya Prabhupada like this. So I appreciate your emphasizing that how this eagerness will come. That question may arise in the mind. Okay, Prabhupada said the eagerness is the first qualification to enter. Oh, where this eagerness? So you gave the how would we say, founded the importance of serving Vaishnavas, sadhus, gurus. Without serving Vaishnava sadhus, eagerness is not coming. So if some devotee, generally amongst within us in the community, not only Alacho, everywhere, this question comes, oh, where is the taste coming from? Well, I don't have the taste, I don't feel like to chant, I don't feel like, well, are you serving Vaishnavas? Are you?
Yeah.
If you don't serve Vaishnava, then you will not get it. And if you get it, that means it's good where you are, keep on growing. So it's very nice. And I was thinking, like, even if somebody really sincerely serve his or her guru and the devotees, even in Alachua, like in Srivast Thakur's case, this Muslim tailor, he was drinking wine, which is illegal according to Muslim culture. He should not even drink. But he was so bewildered, he was drinking wine while he's stitching the Srivast Thakur's clothes. But because his eagerness to serve Srivast Thakur convinced Mahaprabhu or attracted Mahaprabhu's heart that he got love of God. If you really think, like, what was the qualification that Brahma, that Muslim guy has? Or even this lady who was getting the water pot from Ganges to the house.
Really nice connection, yeah.
And I was thinking, like, that Mataji who was getting the water, that's all she's doing. She doesn't know philosophy much, she's not really at anything. But Mahaprabhu noticed. So my point is, like, when we serve actually our guru or the devotees within our community, even wherever we are, I may not, or maybe the temple authority may not notice, but Krishna pays attention for that. And Krishna will reward in due course of time.
That's really, really nice. Thank you. Yes, it's like a really important connection that maybe we don't hear about enough, but it's very, very important. And it's like a secret. It's like a, we can't really understand how it works, but Krishna tells us this is the secret, so thank you.
I was thinking like when Prabhupada said we should hear when we chant. Oh, I just found another quote Prabhupada said that one should literally chant in a way that he can hear or she can hear. So, as the Prabhupada said, the purport, that hearing is the first qualification. It's so important. So important. Thank you.
Thank you so much, yeah. Well, I had another point about not making offenses to the pure devotees, but, you know, we'll just sort of mention it very briefly. Obviously, to make an offense to a devotee, especially a pure devotee, you know, it will destroy our spiritual life. So how important it is to not make offenses, especially to pure devotees. We can see what happened to Hiranyakashipu. And also I was thinking Prabhupada Lila, like what happened to, you know, that Indian person who wanted to, Mr. Nair, he wanted to cheat the devotees when they were trying to build a temple in Juhu, and you know they lost their life. So that was sort of my last point about not offending the devotees, and especially not offending the pure devotees, because they are very dear to Krishna, and Krishna will, you know, intercede in that. So,
Haripa.
Thank you. Yes, right.
Regarding the offenses, this is a letter, 1969. Prabhupada said that you should know that the Hare Krishna mantra has equal effect upon all devotees, just like the sunshine has equal effect on everyone. But when it is covered, the sunshine has a different effect. Similarly, the influence of the Hare Krishna Maha mantra becomes manifest when one is no longer covered by the 10 offenses. The more we become freed from the 10 offenses, the more the effect of chanting becomes manifest through us. Hmm. Everyone can become a great devotee being freed from the offenses 100% simply by one's determination and effort.
Thank you. Thank you. That was very appropriate. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.